Few Australian journalists have the name recognition of Col Allen. He's a tabloid legend. When he was editing the Daily Telegraph in the 90s, his nickname was Col Pot, a tribute to his management style. Col Allen's been in America since 2001, editing the New York Post. This week, he's back at News Corp Australia's Holt Street headquarters. But why? We did ask him to come on the show, but no. So instead, we get the perspective of assiduous Murdoch watcher David McKnight. Firstly, on the New York publication, The Post.
Yes, the New York Post hasn't made money since Rupert Murdoch first bought it in 1976. He sold it, was forced to sell it at a certain point, then rebought it, a loss-making product. It's said to have lost $100 million in the last 12 months. That sounds rather high to me, but I do know that figures around 20, 25 million every year has been what the Post has cost. And essentially, the Post is a kind of vanity publication because Murdoch said at one point, I just can't live in a city in which I don't own a newspaper. So it's part vanity publication. It's also a very politically important newspaper in the biggest and most important city in the United States.
And more recently, there's been a lot of controversy. The paper was accused of racism in 2009 because of a cartoon that appeared to depict Barack Obama as a chimpanzee.
Yes, that was very embarrassing. An apology had to be given. But, I mean, in a sense, that is just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, in 2008, 2012, the Post was very, very strongly against Obama. It plays that role in New York, which still has a lot of Republicans in it, even though it's true it's a very liberal city.
And more recently, after the Boston bombings, the Post published photos of two men on the cover and pretty much said, these are the guys. And they had nothing to do with it.
Yes, they're suing the company at the moment. They were two young guys of non-Anglo extraction, described as bag men, and the implication was they were the people the police were looking for because they had committed a crime, a terrorist act.
Given that what we've just been talking about, I'm wondering what the rationale is for Col Allen coming back to Australia.
Well, I think Col Allen's return, it's a little bit like the Soviet Empire to people who look at the Murdoch Empire. Small moves and detailed statements from people like Robert Thompson are analysed scrupulously, carefully for the hidden meaning. Col Allen is seen as Lachlan Murdoch's man, and so all kinds of speculation has been ignited that Kim Williams, the present CEO, his days are numbered, and perhaps this presages Lachlan Murdoch's return to head the new News Corporation, the new corporate creation from the division of the old News Corporation.
David, you and other Murdoch watchers must feel like criminologists did in the days of the Cold War.
You do. You analyse all these moves and try and find a hidden meaning in them all.
It was actually a fairly brief statement from Robert Thompson, the chief executive. It wasn't very long, and it essentially said News Corp Australia could do with some help with the newspapers, and just for a few months that Col Allen would be returning to assist Kim Williams in that role.
Yes, to me the devastating phrase was extra editorial leadership. Well, of course, if you need extra editorial leadership, that suggests there is a deep problem with the existing editorial leadership that can only be solved by bringing Col Allen here to Australia. That's what I mean about the kind of Sovietology, the criminology of analysis of the Murdoch Empire.
Just before we go to the issues that are to be addressed at News Corp Australia, where does it leave the company's editorial director, Campbell Reid?
Well, I imagine Campbell Reid is feeling pretty bad at the moment. I mean, he is the person supposed to be advising Kim Williams on editorial leadership, and perhaps he's woken up and found that Col Allen is heading his way to give that extra editorial leadership.
Mm. All right, well, let's talk about the issues that News Corp Australia is facing. So the papers. My mail is that the Australian lost $25 million in the financial year that's just completed, and it was $20 million the year before. Is he here to try and address that?
Col Allen has come here to look, they say, at the Sunday newspapers, the weekend newspapers, and that's really the heart of the Murdoch print empire, and it's the most profitable. Newspapers like the New York Post and the Australian lose money. They are subsidised publications. And, of course, there's nothing wrong with, in my view, with subsidising newspapers. I just wish that newspapers like the Australian would stop lecturing us about the need for a level playing field and the need for competition and free markets and so on. It's all a little hypocritical.
It is a relentless challenge. championing of the free market that happens in the Australian. So to hear that, you know, they are subsidised to the tunes of tens of millions of a year, it does take a bit of swallowing. But the Sunday papers, you've mentioned them. Why are they so important?
Well, they're the big sellers. The newspaper crisis is not a crisis of readers. It's a crisis of advertising. And the weekend papers, the Sunday papers in particular, still have advertising. They are still profitable. If they have to retreat, and Fairfax and News are in the same position here, if they have to ultimately give up their Monday to Friday editions, the last bastion is the Saturday and Sunday newspapers because they still make money.
So realistically, what can Col Allen do about bolstering the Sundays?
I think partly what Col Allen can do is bring a bit of, and I say this inverted commas, journalistic magic. I mean, journalism is a kind of secret society or a priesthood in my view. And in order to get the best out of journalists, you do have to give some kind of leadership and you have to be an insider, not an outsider. And the problem for Kim Williams is that he's an outsider. He's never been part of that journalistic culture, which is really the engine room of any major news organisation like News Corporation.
Yeah, and he follows John Hartigan, who was absolutely of that culture, had Holt Street, if you like, in his veins.
Yes, that's right. And I mean, Murdoch himself is like this. I mean, all of this, in a way, is a projection of Rupert Murdoch, who is part of that insider journalistic culture, and as is Col Allen.
So are you hearing that the journalists are not happy, then, with Kim Williams as their boss?
Well, that's been that idea has been floated by non-Murdoch publications, that the consultants have been brought in, Boston Consulting Group. All kinds of change management is underway, it's said, because news has a very blokey culture. There could be all kinds of things happening, and those kinds of rationalistic managerialism are a total anathema to the kind of journalistic culture that exists within News Corporation.
So Boston Consulting might not be around in the building that much longer with Col Allen there.
Well, the question, I guess, is whether Col Allen would give a damn, frankly, about what Boston Consulting says is the way forward.
How important is the relationship between Col Allen and Kim Williams going to be over the next few months?
Well, I think it's central. I mean, the company has been split, the global company has been split. All the newspapers are in one company. It's been determined that extra editorial leadership is needed in Australia. That is a direct reflection, I think, on Kim Williams and his ability to steer the company. So I think it has a lot of meaning.
It's worth underlining, of course, that he did extraordinarily well at Foxtel and before that at Fox Studios. He's been a very successful manager and maker of money for Rupert Murdoch.
There is no doubt that Kim Williams has been very successful. But as I say, it gets to that kind of what journalists regard in a rather romantic way, that sort of magic of the journalistic culture to be able to give leadership to make newspapers work, which means, you know, having a sense of popular culture, popular taste, what will work, how far to go, that sort of thing.
Right, okay. Well, there's no question that Col Allen is in touch with that. David, I suppose the other thing I've been wondering about, and there's been a bit of speculation about this, is will he go back to the United States? Because Robert Thompson's statement says he'll be there for 2 or 3 months before returning. And it almost stresses that, but everything I've read around it suggests that that ain't necessarily so.
Yes, it's said that it'll be a temporary fix. I guess that's perhaps not so the troops aren't alarmed. And so the management structure isn't alarmed, but it is a breach of that chain of command, a quite extraordinary one. And you make those statements, I mean, maybe it's permanent. It doesn't really, I mean, those statements are not a legal contract. So we may well see Col Allen back for good.
All right. Well, we'll keep an eye on it. Thank you very much for joining me today.
Thanks, Richard.
David McKnight's at the University of New South Wales. His last book was Rupert Murdoch, An Investigation of Political Power. More details on the website, abc.net.au/radionational. That's where you can leave a comment too.